Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ یہ شادی ہے بے شک محبت کا زینہ بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم بہاروں کی آمد صبا کا ترنم نکاح عقد مسنو دکھے دل کا مرہم یہ فرما گئے ہے رسول مکرم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. أهلا وسهلا ومرحبا بكم. It's a beautiful Wednesday morning. It's overcast. It's brr. It's cold. And I see my beloved engineer, Brother Bonface. He's looking as if it's snowing. He says, number one. Number one, Bonface, my engineer. He will be with me till 12, inshallah. My name is Arafat bin Ibrahim Hatia. Yes, my wonderful, beloved listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmal and Hafiz Yusuf Asmal and company. I hope they are well. I hope they are good. Ameen. And we welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's the 20th of the 20th, 14. 43, 2022, 20th of July, corresponding to the 20th of Dhul Hijjah, 1443. Remember, our WhatsApp number is 084-786-3132. International overseas listeners, +27 84 786 3132. I see many listeners are with us this morning on our program, The Bliss of Marriage. I see Sister Khairun, Auntie Khairun Daya from Marlboro. She's our other listener of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah. She does not miss the bliss of marriage. I see the questions are starting to come in on 084-786-3132. Yes. Anyway, whilst we are waiting for our beloved, honorable, respected Fadila to start, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafidhullah. One is, if you know of anyone who's getting married or who will be getting married or who is getting married, inshallah, this coming week, just send us a message and inshallah, we will be announcing your nikah, inshallah, every Friday mornings between 10 o'clock to half past 10. That's every Friday mornings, myself and our beloved Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Salim Kareem, Damat Barakatuhum. That's every Fridays, inshallah, inshallah. Yes, you can, inshallah, do that. If anybody is getting married, inshallah, you know that every Fridays between 10 o'clock to half past 10 is our nikah program. Well, it's 7 minutes after 11 South African time. It's a beautiful morning. Like I said, cold morning, overcast. Let's welcome our beloved, honorable, respected Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Maulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafidhullah. Ustad, welcome to the Bliss of Marriage. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Ustad.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa arafat. Jazakallahu khairan.
There's a listener, Ustad, from overseas. They say, please ask Mufti AK if it is haram to take injection, birth control, to skip a period, Ustad. Is it permissible or not?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem. Amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Islam has a natural system, remember that. And today the Muslim world, the Arab world, are so impressed and influenced by the kuffar, by the West and so forth. In their hearts and mind, majority Muslims feel and think the West is the best and white is right. So now let us take and look at the situation that a lady wants to take some tablet injection, whatever it is, to delay her menses and so forth. Why? So either she does not want to fall pregnant, or either she doesn't want more children, or either, you must remember, she wants to remain slim and trim and what have you. So we must understand the following three things. As far as menses goes, Almighty Allah has addressed this issue in the Noble Quran, Surah chapter 2, verse 222. All twos there. Surah chapter 2, verse 222. Almighty Allah states, وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الْمَحِيدِ. They ask you, Ya Rasulullah, O Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam, regarding their menses. قُلْ هُوَ أَذَا. Tell them it is impure, is napak, is najis. فَأَتَزْدَزِلُ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيدِ. You must separate yourself from your wife during menses. Separate means there will not be any conjugal rights and being intimate with them. And the hadith in Abu Dawood, Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the ummah, فَوْقَ الْإِزَارِ. The portion between the navel and the knee must be covered by that lady, the wife, and the husband cannot touch his wife skin to skin between the navel and the knee. It must be above the fabric, above the material. Below the knee, he can touch skin to skin. Above the navel, he can touch there the bosom, the back, skin to skin. All that is permissible. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَتْهُرْنَ. And don't go and fulfill your conjugal relations with her till she takes a first ghusl and compulsory bath. فَإِذَا تَتْوَهَرْنَ. And when she takes the compulsory bath, فَأَتُوهُنَّ مِنْ حَيْثُ أَمَرَكُمُ اللَّهِ. Then go to her where Almighty Allah commanded you to go. So that is what Quran Sharif is teaching us. Second one, حَبِيبُنَا صَلَّى اللَّهُ وَسَلَّمُ الْحَدِيثِ in Mishkat Sharif, Mustad Ahmad, إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَتَبَ هَذِهِ عَلَى بَنَاتِ آدَمَ. Allah Ta'ala has prescribed, ordained this on the daughters of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam. So that's a sign of your being healthy, the natural way and so forth. So whenever you are going to delay it, postpone it and so forth and so on, there will be side effects and it will cause you bigger problems in the long term, in the long run. Yes, if it is Ramadan time and you want to keep all 29-30 fast and then you took injection medication to postpone the menses, nothing to do with control, birth control and so forth, so the fatwa will be permissible but not desirable. If you are in a Hajj and now you have to perform your tawafu ziyara, your tawafu ifada, and you take medication, you take injection to delay and postpone your menses, so that's permissible. But for you now, it's not Ramadan, it's not Hajj time, all that is finished now. So to take medication, to miss one menses and delay it and so forth will not be permissible because there's no justification for it. So we should know and understand things that are against the fitrah, things that are against the natural system, and they go against the sharia, will not be acceptable, will not be permissible in Islam.
Ustad, I received this message now. They said that there's some, I don't know, group that they will be having its first get-together on Saturday, Ustad, and they said that loads of fun in a halal manner. No photos will be allowed as some of our friends are in the club. No smoking allowed, no alcohol allowed, no vulgar or obscene language. Of course, dress code, come as yourself. This is to get married. This is permissible, Ustad?
Not permissible. All these type of things things are shaitan it inspired. Remember that people will think it's a good thing. So there they will come, and then they will say, oh, I can see this lady, or I can see this boy, and so forth and so on. So marriage marriage is from time of Nabi Adam alayhi salatu salam, and how we all got married. Time of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, people got married. But today people want to change everything because they see that on the TV, Hollywood, Bollywood, Robin Hood, and now they say, no, that we got good intention. Remember that good intention does not justify a haram deed or a haram action. So we dead against all these things. Why? Surah 5 verse 2, وَلَا تَعَوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. Do not cooperate and assist one another in sin and transgression. So that's one. Two, remember for you to participate when you know that is not permissible. مَنْ كَثَّرَ سَوَادَ قَوْمٍ فَوَ مِنْهُمْ. Whosoever increases the numbers of people in haram functions, then you become part and parcel of that. You're an accomplice in that crime. The hadith is authentic. Musnad Abi Awana's hadith, it is mentioned. So therefore, we must not mimic and imitate and emulate the kuffar culture. Man tashabbaha biqawmin fawa minhum. Authentic hadith in Abu Dawood. Whosoever imitates and mimics a napi, a people, a nation, in their vices, you become part and parcel of them. So remember that these type of things are satanically Lucifer. Lucifer is what they translate for Satan in English, are inspired and incited by him. Our fatwa verdict is this type of function not permissible.
But Muftisab, I've heard that your husband can fast for you when you must fast in due to pregnancy. Is this true, Ustad?
Totally haram. Remember that you must fast. There's no such thing as somebody else is going to fast for you. Quran Kareem states, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيدًا أَوْ عَلَى سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. When you are ill, so ill means you are pregnant, or you are breastfeeding, or you are in your menses, or you are in your postnatal, then Quran is telling you, or you are on a journey, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. So the other days, when you're not sick and ill, when you're not in your menses, when you're not in your postnatal, so then qada is compulsory upon you to say that your husband can fast for you, or the wife can fast for the husband. All this are fairy tales, must be in some lal kitab that you have brought from India or some Aman scroll or somewhere. Totally haram and not permissible.
Somebody says here that my wife does not eat anything she has doubt on, Ustad. I eat out and she would refuse a halal meal. So if she has doubt, should I also not eat that which I have no doubt of, Ustad?
Remember that you, brother, you are looking for loopholes. Quran Kareem teaches us, Kulu mimma fil ardi halalan tayyiba. Islam teaches us, you must not only eat that what is halal, you must eat that which is halal, lawful, and tayyiba, that which is pure and 100% wholesome. I'm asking you 2-3 questions. Today you know that in the abattoirs, the chicken and the cattle, all are stunned, is torture. Imagine the jutlas, the rabbis, they don't allow it, but the Muslims, they allow it. For what? Just to make money. Maximum amount of animals must be slaughtered in minimum time. I went to abattoirs where they slaughtered 250,000 chicken, 300,000 chicken per day. I'm asking you, brother, do you really believe that they read 100,000 times, 50,000 times each slaughter, Bismillah, Bismillah? Do you really believe that? So obviously it's an absolute lie and propaganda. So therefore that we rule that all these type of chicken, cattle are not permissible. So you must remember that you are fooling yourself with the halal logos. The halal logos are not worth the paper on which they are written today. It's all a money-making gimmick throughout the whole world. South Africa, Mecca and the whole world. One. Second one is this. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam's authentic hadith, and that is mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif. Da'a ma yuribuka ila ma la yuribuk. Leave that which places you and puts you into doubt, and opt for that in which there is no doubt. Authentic hadith Tirmidhi. You are what you eat. Therefore, for you, brother, to do actions, good actions, is difficult because you eating those things that are haram or mashkuk and doubtful and so forth and so on. Your wife, on the other hand, she's a salihah, pious lady. She abstains from all these things. So we say, well done. Congratulations. We salute you. And therefore, for you to do good deeds will become your nature, second nature. Quran Kareem speaks of the prophets and messengers. Ya your rusul, kulu minat tayyibati wa amalu saliha. O prophets and messengers, consume that which is pure and wholesome, and continue with the righteous deeds. Next hadith. Wa bisa radiallahu ta'ala nukim. Hadith in Musnad Ahmad, authentic hadith. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tell me mal birru and wal ismu. What is the piety and what is the sin? Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, At-taqwa, to have piety and stay away from the haram all time, all places. And wa husnul khuluq, good morals, good manners, good character. So that is piety. What is ithmu? Ma haka fi sadrik. That agitates your conscience. It works on your conscience. Wa karihta ayyattali alayhi nas. You dislike the people to come to know about it. Then Nabi alayhi salatu salam said, stay away. In aftaq an-nas, even if the ulama, some muftis and what, they give fatwa, but you got doubt, so you must stay away from it. That is the real taqwa and piety, brother. So these are the authentic, these are the Quranic verses and the authentic ahadith mentioned in Tirmidhi Sharif and Musnad Ahmad.
Somebody says that Mufti AK Sahib, there are Shias listening. My husband also loves Shias. Who are really the Shias? Does marriage still exist? Ustad, anonymous.
First and foremost, do you know who are Shias? We don't quote from our books. We quote from their books. Remember that all I'm quoting to you now are all mentioned in their books. I give you 5-6 different incidents and you tell me if people like this can ever be Muslim. Number one, Khomeini la'anahullah. La'anahullah means Allah's curse is on him. Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, hadith in Tirmidhi, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي. When you see those people cursing, swearing, castigating my sahaba, my beloved students and companions, فَقُولُوا, then say, this is Mustafa, رَحْمَةُ لِلْعَالَمِينَ, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, فَقُولُوا, then say, لَعَنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى شَرِّكُمْ, Allah's curse be upon you for the evil you are perpetrating and commissioning and doing. The hadith is mentioned in Tirmidhi. One. Khomeini writes, a book I have, Tawdihul Masail, that a person can make mut'a, prostitution, for 1 hour. Which person in his right mind today will offer his daughter to somebody, use her, abuse her for 1 hour? The time now is 11 o'clock, for example. You use her till 12 o'clock, and then 12 o'clock she go her way, and he will go his way. That's what Khomeini wrote. So imagine that they're promoting prostitution. 100% prostitution, and you asking me if such people are Muslim. What? One. Two. In Tahrirul Wasila, these are all Shia books, is written there that Khomeini and them write that you can commit bestiality. You sleep with the animal, you fulfill your lust and desire with the animal, and thereafter you send that animal, you get busy with a donkey or a monkey or a dog or whatever, Allah forbid, Allah forbid. You send it to some other town and some other place, and then if you want, you can get rid of it, you bury it and so forth. So in Tahrirul Wasila, that is Khomeini's fatwa. Can anybody in his right mind ever allow bestiality? That is what Shia say. So one side they allow prostitution. On the second side they allow bestiality. These are all their books. Third one. Today is the 20th of Zulhijjah. In Makkah, Mukarrama, Medina, Munawwara, Aqsa, Mubarak is the 21st. After 2 weeks, 3 weeks will be Muharram, and then will be Ashura. It was the 61st year after the Hijrah. It was a Friday, and it was the 10th of Muharram, Friday, in Karbala, Maidan Tufuf, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala anhu arda, the beloved Nawasa, the beloved grandson of the master Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's ladla and his beloved, remember Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu. So when he saw what the Shia are doing, write down the book is written by Shias Al-Irshad, and the author of the book is Sheikh Mufid. In there, that is written, that, now I'm reading the text, in al-Imam Hussein alayhi salatu salam rafa'a yadayhi wa da'a ala shi'atihi. Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala who raised his Mubarak hands and blessed hands, and then cursed the Shia wa da'a ala shi'atihi. He cursed them and he made dua against them. فَقَالَ إِن مَتَّاتَهُمْ إِلَىٰ حِينَ فَفَرِّقُهُمْ فِرَقًا. Ya Allah, if you allow them to live and you give them long life, then make them into many, many splinter groups. وَلَا تَرُضَ الْوُلَاتُ أَنُهُمْ أَبَدًا. Never let the rulers be pleased with them. See Iran, see Iraq. Whole day they fighting. You must remember that. These are all the kuffar Shia countries. So a majority Shia. Why on Ashura day the Shias are hitting themselves? Why? The dua of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu against them. He cursed them. And therefore they hit themselves and they injured themselves and all these things. Who is the eyewitness to the incident of Karbala, the martyrdom of Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu? His beloved son, who was Zainul Abidin. You Shia sent me the book. The book is called Al-Imam Zainul Abidin. And remember by Muassasatul Balagh. And go open ihtijaj of the Shia by Tabarasi. In there it's written, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu ta'ala and his son, Hazrat Zainul Abideen, he asked them, the Shia, after the martyrdom and murder of his beloved father, إِنَّكُمْ أَخَذْتُمُ الْأَهْدَ وَالْمِيثَاقِ ثُمَّ تَرَكْتُمُوهُ وَخَزَلْتُمُوهُ. You took the pledge, 20,000 of you, from my father, and then you left him, and then you deserted him. بِأَيِّ عَيْنٍ تَنْظُرُونَ إِلَىٰ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How will you look at Nabi alayhi sallallahu sallam tomorrow on the day of justice? وَوَا يَقُولُ لَكُمْ. And he, Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will address you and say, قَاتَلْتُمْ إِتْرَتِي. You murdered my grandson. وَانْتَهَكْتُمْ حُرْمَتِي. You desecrated our lofty rank of the Ahlul Bayt. فَلَسْتُمْ مِنْ أُمَّتِي. You don't belong to this ummah. This is your kitab, Shia kitab, written by the Shias, and there the fatwa of Imam Hazrat Zainul Abideen, whom you call your fourth Imam, he's telling you, Shias, you kuffar, you out of the fold of Islam. So that is one witness. Next witness is Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu's daughter, and his mother is Fatima al-Kubra, the great, great Fatima, Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlil Jannah. His daughter, Sayyidina Hussein's daughter, is Fatima Sughra. She told the Shias after the martyrdom of her father, which he witnessed, Tabbalakum, Allah destroy and decimate you. Wa la'anatullahi alaykum, Allah Ta'ala's curse be upon you. Qataltum abi al-yawm kama qataltum jaddi bil-ams. Today you martyred and murdered my beloved father Sayyidina Hussein. How previously you martyred and murdered my dada, my grandfather Sayyidina Ali radiallahu anhu. go open Ihtijaj by Tabarasi and see what they said. They read poetry, the Kufar Shia. Qatalna Aliyan wa Bani Aliyin bisuyufin hindiyatin wa rimahi. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Ali. Allah forbid, Allah forbid. Yes, we murdered Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu anhu, Allah forbid. And we used the swords, we used the spears made in India. Ihtijaj of Tabarasi. All these books, not one belongs to us. All this belong to the Shia. Now I pose the question to you. You're recording me? Very good. Send it to any Shia in the world and tell him to refute these arguments of mine. And from your books, so you are the ones who murdered Sayyidina Ali, you murdered Sayyidina Hussein, and you believe in what Khomeini says, what is prostitution and bestiality, and you pose the question to me, a Shia Muslim? 2013, when I went to Iran, I arrived there on a Monday, 1st Rabiul Awal, and I came back on the 13th, the following Saturday. So 12, 13 days I was there. The 5th of Rabiul Awal, Friday, the place name is Kashan, said, dear this Kufar, this Shia, your Iranian Persian revolution, they built a shrine, listen carefully, they built a mazar, a mausoleum of the murderer of Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala an. Who is the murderer? His name is Fayruz Abu Lu'lu al-Majusi, the fire worshipper, the Zoroastrian. And they made a mazar there. You did something very, very good. You martyred and murdered Sayyidina Umar. We give you the title, Shias give you the title, that Baba Shuja'uddin. You are the bravest person, and therefore we love you, because we hate Umar. When you hate Abu Bakr radiallahu an, you hate Sayyidina Usman, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu an, you hate Sayyidina Usman radiallahu an, you curse Sayyidina Aisha radiallahu anha, you curse Sayyidina Hafsa radiallahu anha, you curse Amir Muawiyah radiallahu an, who Sayyidina Hassan radiallahu an, who resigned and gave him the mantle of leadership and khilafat, but you hate and curse them. So what will be our fatwa? Our fatwa will be and is that Shias are pakka 110% kuffar and out of the fold of Islam.
Allahu Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Well said, Honorable Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussein, Hafidhahullah. Somebody says here, Ustad, that I was told that never to marry an alima as they read their husbands, their rights. I never believed this. Till my brother married one of them, Mufti Sahab. Now I learned my lesson. So why do ladies become alimas, Ustad?
You see, the first thing in your question we have to rectify. When you have a problem with certain group of people, you can't go make, you know, sweeping statements and paint everybody with the same brush. That now every alima is bad, every alima's nikah will break, and so that's wrong. You should have phrased the question like that, like this, that why do some alima, they become hafiza, alima, whatever, but then they undermine the role of their husband. They think that they are the big genius and the alima, and remember, the husbands are non-entities, that they don't know how to read Quran properly, or they don't know Bukhari and Muslim and Hadith kitabs and so forth. Like that, you should have posed your question. You can't be making general sweeping statements like how you made. That's totally wrong. So that's one issue. Second issue, this is true. And I tell them, in my family, how many I got? So I always tell them, never say you're an alima, because you'll do all shortcut courses. 3 years time you alima, 4 or 5 years after kitabs you never did, and so forth. So remember that, say you are taliba, say you are a student of deen. We still today we say we students of deen. Hazrat Mufti Riza al-Haq Sahib Hafizullah arrived last night from Pakistan, alhamdulillah. I will go today there, inshallah al-Aziz. I sit with the students and people ask, what you doing? I say, I'm a student, yeah, I'm listening to Hazrat Mufti Sahib's lesson. So We must be student our whole life. Not we grow horns and start thinking, Meto Bara Alimahu and Bara Zabardas Alimu. Once all that happens, Man Kala Ana Alimun for a Jahil. That who starts saying, I'm an Alim, I'm this, then you're actually a Jahil, you ignorant person. The knowledge, remember, is Bahrun La Sahila Lahu, is an ocean and is never ending. Therefore, you seek this knowledge from the womb to the tomb, from the cradle to the grave. But remember to say for every alima, that's wrong. Yes, you get some alima that they grow horns and then they don't want to even make a cup of tea for the father-in-law or mother-in-law, or even sometime for the husband. They say it's not my duty. So that knowledge, you know, Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahab, I don't know how many people in South Africa met him. Very few people. He visited South Africa once. Nevertheless, that we met him several times. He passed away in 76 Shawwal. So when he's to address the students, he's to say, some of you students, Jaa al-himaru sagir, wa raja al-himaru al-kabir. That when you came to the madrasa Darul Uloom, you were a small donkey. And when you returned, you become a big donkey. Because now why? You start thinking that you the alama of the time. You start thinking you are the genius of the time. You don't have to ask your teachers, you don't have to make mashura, nothing and all that. And Quran speaks of such people. Surah 62, verse number 5. Mathalul ladina humilu tawrat thumma lam yahmiluha kamathalil himari yahmilu asfara. Allah speaks of the jutlas and the Jews and their rabbis, that they don't want to preach and teach the Torah. They will always give the slant message, fork message. Rich person come, they will change it for that person. Poor person come, they'll give the original verdict. Kamathalil himar, their example is like the donkey carrying big encyclopedias. So that is what Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib Rahimahullah meant. So we all should understand this type of things.
Ustad, I'm going to read the question as is. The sister says that I won't say the places. She says, I am prepared to debate with Mufti Sahib, because we studied that we alimas, we're not allowed to cook for our husbands and make tea, a cup of tea of them. Show me when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did for his wives. Ustad, alima.
So that, you see, that's exactly the point I'm making. So you must remember when Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told the wife to do something. Did they listen or didn't they listen? When your husband tells you to do something, do you have to listen or not? When your husband tells you, you must make a cup of tea or you must cook something, it's wajib and compulsory upon you to do so. And if you haven't learned that, then your whole 4 years, 3 years, you wasted your time. You must remember this. You are ignorant. You are jahila. Therefore, you talk nonsense like this.
Somebody says, Ustad, just hear me out here. My husband was in a severe accident and was declared brain dead. In this time, the ulama gave me permission to remarry. Now, 15 years down the lane, he has fully recovered. What do I do now? I have 2 children from my current husband. Ustad, anonymous.
Whoever told you while your previous husband was alive, brain dead in Islam does not mean dead. So we reject it, and I'm very, very surprised. I want to see that fatwa. Who gave the fatwa that when a husband was in an accident, in a coma, then suddenly you can get married to somebody else? Remember, iddat comes after death. So there was no iddat here, there was no death here, nothing. And now you were living in sin with that person and that Molvi, that Sheikh, that Mufti, who gave that fatwa that you could marry somebody else. Absolutely haram it is. So if you were fed up, then remember you should go to the ulama and apply for a fasakh and an annulment of marriage if he was totally in coma or something. So none of that was was done according to the question, and you just got married to somebody else while you married to your first husband, and he is brain dead and so forth, so your second marriage is null and void, all the children are haram, you're living in sin, and the lineage of the children will go to you. So you must remember, who in his right mind can give a fatwa like this, that when the husband is in a coma, get married to somebody else. So remember, 100% zina, adultery and so forth. So therefore, I want to see that fatwa, that who gave such a fatwa and so forth. So you, my sister, that you go back to your first husband, you call that istishabul hal, you call that status quo remain, and that two children there, they harami children, and they will, lineage will go to you, and you and the second guy, you want to call him husband, is not husband, because there's no nikah. Both of you must be lashed and whipped and punished, remember, for committing all these haram activities. Allah protect us from all these people who issue crooked fatwas and upside. They'll tell you LGBT is permissible.
They said the answer was given from one of the radio stations, one of the radio Islamic stations.
So you must remember these type of things here. You must name them and shame them when they pass all this upside down fatwas and so forth. Pehle the mufti masail ke batane wale, ab bhi hai mufti mufke khane wale. That Iqbal said that first they were the muftis who would teach the people the fatwas. Now there are many muftis and many people issuing fatwas and just mufatiyas, you know. They just want to use it to make money out of it and so forth. So remember that, sister, that two children there, lineage will go to you, and sever all ties with the second character. You got nothing to do with him, and he's got nothing to do with you. You must go back to your first husband. There's no two husbands at one time in Islam.
Well said, Ustad. I love you for the pleasure of Allah. Well, Haji Sulaiman, as we go for an interval, we come back, we will continue with the bliss of marriage. Stay tuned.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Well, it's 11:39 South African time. It's a beautiful, mashallah, here in Johannesburg. Wednesday morning, it's a bit overcast. I see there are many, many listeners who start since today is the 20th of Dhul Hijjah. They want to know that when will the beautiful month of Muharram begin, start 1444. Ustad.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In Islam, we all need to know when the year ends, we going nearer and nearer to our death, our qabr. Hadith in Tirmidhi Sharif, Hasibu qabla an tuhasabu. Take stock of yourself today before Yawm al-Hisab, before the day of reckoning comes. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, daily, when the sun would set, his face would become somber, and his students would ask him, what is wrong, O Ustad? He would say, Naqasa fihi ajali, walam yazid fihi amali, that my lifespan is decreasing, I'm going nearer to my death, and my righteous deeds and righteous actions are not increasing. So you must remember, so that is what we must know, kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. So when Muharram 1444 start, we now in 1443. In Islam, we don't have New Year celebrations and that wine, dine and swine. For us, it is time for reflection, not for time for celebration. So always remember these issues. So according to calendar, so it will be on the 30th of July. So it means this month will be 29 days. So that Friday night, not this Friday night, next Friday night, if we see the moon and the crescent, then Saturday will be first Muharram. And if it is not sighted, then remember the 31st, the Sunday, will be the first of Muharram. So either Saturday next week or Sunday next week will be, next weekend, so will be the first of Muharram. And make dua, inshallah, whether it's Saturday, Sunday. Allah Jalla Wala, make this new month and new year year, the month of Muharram, and the year 1444, khair and rushd and better for us and the Ummah and Muslimah. So that is what we should do. And you know, we will send out the du'as and all that one should read during the course of the week, next week, inshallah, Aziz.
I see somebody saying, Ustad, is there such a thing as gifts for Muharram, for Ashura? I want to give a gift to my beloved husband and I want to tell him I'm ready to get children, Ustad.
So you must remember, brother, sister, in Islam, to give gifts is 100% sunnah anytime. Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tahaddu tahabu. Give gifts to one another. That will generate mutual love. Husband, wife, always, it's something natural between Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha, Sayyidina Ali, one, two time, there was some misunderstanding and so forth. So that will happen. فَإِنَّ الْهَدِيَّةَ تُذْهِبُ الدُّغَائِينَ. When you give gifts to one another, that will then remove the malice, the rancor, the hatred, and so forth and so on. So therefore, the hadith is authentic in Bayhaqi. So why you don't give a gift to your husband now? Why you don't give a gift to your wife now? Give a gift to your parents, your siblings, to whoever. Not girlfriend and boyfriend and some haram relationship. Obviously, that is haram, obviously. We're speaking of a halal case. So anytime you can give. Now the confusion comes with this. The hadith is weak, but is mentioned, remember, in Mishkat Sharif and various compilations. Man wassa'a ala iyalihi yawma ashura, wassa'a Allahu sa'ira sanatihi. Whosoever increases the risk for his family on the day, on the night of Ashura, so Allah Jalla wala will increase the risk for that person for the whole year. Now what the Muslim shopkeepers did, they found a niche in the market. They said, oh, Ashura gift, Ashura gift. So they started making specials, you know, miswak on special, kurta on special, leather, khufain, the leather socks on special, the abayas on special, and everything like that. So the ummah fell for it, and so that got nothing to do. There's nothing mentioned like that. So remember to say, on Ashura we must give a gift, that the Quran hadith don't say about that. So that is definitely not a sunnah. We must be clear on it. If a person says that's a sunnah, then that's a lie and it becomes a bid'ah and not permissible then. So gift you can give any time. So deen is not my logic and your logic. Deen is supra-logical, above our brains and so forth. So we must understand the Quran Sharif properly, the sunnah properly, not we put our idea, our theory on top, and now we look for Quranic verse, we look for hadith to substantiate our theory, our own ideas and concepts. So that is yudillu bihi kathira, that through the Quran and hadith you will go astray. Wa yahdi bihi kathira, when you take your desires and you fit it in the sharia, then you will be on the right path. So that is the big lesson we must learn today.
Ustad, somebody says that my daughter is a lesbian. What must I do, Ustad?
Yes, remember, we are receiving all these type of questions. Allah alone protect us. Somebody got there that their son is gay, or their husband is gay, or their daughter is lesbian. We can't be pushing all these things under the table and under the carpet and adopt the ostrich mentality and say, oh, how can you ask these questions? You see, today, the LGBT is promoted by governments. It is promoted by politicians, and is promoted by some crooked imams and maulvis also. Obviously, such people who promote it are out of the fold of Islam. They can have an Islamic name, but they themselves are out of the fold of Islam. You know, in Cape Town, the one chap say he's an imam and he's gay. So you must remember that these are the people out of the fold of Islam. So if your daughter, Allah forbid, is lesbian, or the son is gay and so forth, you must have a heart-to-heart talk with them and tell them, if you're not going to change immediately, then there's the door, and everyone in the family must then ostracize them, boycott them, no salam, no kalam, that we kick them out from our family circles and so forth. That is called al-hubbu lillah wal-bughzu lillah. We love for Almighty Allah's sake, and we hate for Almighty Allah's sake. Why do we keep our son in our home, our daughter in our home, and they are practicing on all this filth, which is punishable by death? Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, uqtulul fa'il wal maf'ul, that the death penalty is applicable. So we need to be clear on these type of issues. We give them 1, 2, 3 chances and opportunities to repent and sever ties with all these crooked partners of theirs and so forth. But if they don't learn, then it's compulsory upon you that you have to expel them and get rid of them. They will corrupt your their siblings also. They got brothers, sisters, and today the TV, the video, the phones are there in every house today. So remember, you just press the button and they will say see, 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 and they will tell you that there's one sheikh, one imam, one maulana even said it's legal, Allah forbid. So therefore, you have to take decisive action, and that is the only way you will able to protect the iman and Islam. And obviously cry to Allah that remember today that the fitnas are increasing daily. You can't believe that what this ummah is involved in and indulging in. Allah alone protect us.
Ameen, ameen to ameen. Somebody says, I wanted to ask Mufti Sab about children's inheritance. I wanted to know if this is correct. Even if your child is the worst sinner, they still have to get an inheritance. I've heard that somewhere. Not that my child is doing any wrong. Just want to find out if this is correct to start.
Remember that you are the husband, you are the father. So when you pass away, then remember that your, this thing we will say, your wife will get 1/8, 12.5%. And then you got 3 sons and you got 1 daughter. Alright? So in a case like that, what will happen is that your 3 sons will get 12, 25, 25, 25%, the wife will get with her 12.5%, and the daughter will get her 12.5%, so that makes the 100%, okay? Now, there is a special sequence you have to follow. Number one is burial, funeral expenses. Number two is the debts of the deceased has to be paid immediately. And wasiyah. Verbally, you made wasiyah, these witnesses. Wasiyah means to bequeath for non-heirs, maximum 1/3 of the net estate. Or you wrote it and mentioned it in your will. And this is for non-heirs, your adopted children, your neighbor, your masjid, madrasa, whatever. And thereafter, the shares of the heirs. So you passed away, wife 12.5%, 3 sons 25, 25, 25%, and thereafter your daughter 12.5%. So are we clear till there? Now one son, Allah forbid, he's on drugs, alcohol, he's busy in the casino, he's busy in the escort agency, a real disaster he is. So you have to, he'll give him to inherit, he must inherit. So you have 2-3 options. Option number one is this, you write down in your will, you know if he's going to get all his 100,000, 1 million, in 1 week, 1 month, 2-3 months, he'll bust everything up. So you appoint a curator, and the curator will give him the 5,000, 10,000, 20,000 that he requires for the month, and that is how Islam will solve the problem. One way. Second way, you can't deprive him, but remember, he can manage it for him. Second one will be that during your lifetime, your sons, your daughters, remember, that are good. So you give them a perks, you give them incentives, you give them money, you give them property, car, gold, whatever, and you give it to them. It is in their ownership and no strings attached, no conditions attached, and so forth. But that son, that daughter, who's involved in all vices, that she's busy in lesbian, she's busy with boyfriend, she ran away from home, the boy is busy, as I told you, with the escort agencies and with the drugs and bad friends and bad elements. You don't give them because you tell them that you are causing so much harm and so forth. So that also will be permissible in that case there. Normal cases will be you must do justice amongst your children. But where the child, one of them or two of them, are really disrespectful and disobedient and rebellious, and you do that, so that also will be acceptable. So they will inherit, but then your estate will be much smaller compared to being, you know, before, because you distributed a lot of it, or the major portion during your lifetime, and you gave it to your son and your daughter, wife, and so forth. So that is what you must remember. You can't deprive any heir. As long as they are Muslim, Quran Sharif speaks of this in Surah 4, Surah Nisa, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ, and whosoever disobeys Almighty Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَيَتَعَدَّ حُدُودًا, and they go beyond the limits, they increase the share for somebody, decrease the share, you serve the rights of somebody, يُدْخِلْهُ نَارًا خَالِدًا فِيهَا, Allah dispatches them to Jahannam forever, meaning for a very, very long time, وَلَهُ عَذَابٌ مُهِينٌ, and for such a person will be a disgraceful, humiliating punishment. Hadith in Mishkat, Ibn Majah, various compilations. Man qata miratha warithihi, qata Allahu mirathahu min al-jannati yawm al-qiyamah. You deprived your heir of his or her share. Allah will then deprive you of your share of Jannat and Paradise on the day of Qiyamah. So that are the fatwas and the maslahs you're supposed to know, brother.
Somebody says people advertising will start Muharram Niyad in Ta'ziyah Ziyarat. But I don't understand what this is about. Can Mufti Sahib explain, Ustad?
To all these money-making gimmicks, you must remember that they will tell you that they got the Baal Mubarak of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, come make Ziyarat. 90% of the Ummah today who claim that they got the Baal Mubarak, the Hay Mubarak of Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, ask them where's the chain? Ask them where's the proof for that? Therefore, Abdullah bin Mubarak rahimahullah and them used to say, Lawlal Isnad, Laqala man sha'a ma sha'a. Open Sahih Muslim, you will find it in the Muqaddamah. That if you don't have a chain, then anybody can say anything about anything. So Islam teaches us chain. Bring your chain. Show us your rijal. Show us your lineage. Show us your chain of narrators. So that the lineage means here in hadith. So show us your chain of narrators and so forth. Who told you that? So today people just go Makkah, Medina, Iraq and they say that. So that's what they mean by ziyarat and so forth. Niyaz and all these type of things, you must remember, is not permissible if it is done for ghairullah. When you slaughter a goat and a sheep, you must say it's solely only for Almighty Allah. And then the thawab will go to Hazrat Piran and Pir Sayyidina Sheikh Abdul Qadir Jilani Nawarallahu Marqadahu. The reward will go to Sayyidina Hassan, Sayyidina Hussein radiallahu, and the whole Ummah. The animal must be slaughtered on the name of Allah alone. You can't slaughter animal on the name of any Nabi or any Sahabi or any Wali. So all that is haram and not permissible. So all these are clear-cut issues. We must understand the basics of our deen.
0847863132. Somebody says here, but Mufti Saab, children are supposed to be the joys of our lives. My son beats me up every day, yet I cook all his favorite food and give him everything he wants. It is like a queen giving birth to her master. Everybody's quick to say, have sabr, Mufti Saab, but nobody knows what I'm going through. Anonymous Ustad.
That's exactly the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, antalid al-amatu rabbataha. The lady will give birth to her master. So why you don't report him to the police? They must lock him up. Why you as a mother enduring all this? In case like this, you don't have to make sabr. He is a person that is making so much nashukri, and he is beating you up as a mother. So where's the father? Where's the family members? So they must be there to intervene and so forth. So sister, you must not take all this. Remember that Islamically, report him to the police and charge him for assault, and then they must put him in the jail, and then there they'll penal beat him properly, and then he will come right. These are people that that's where they belong. You must remember that. That who in his right mind can go and beat up his mother and still demand that he wants this food and this food and this food. Sometimes we spoil them too much, and then they become sammin kalbak ya akulka. We have a puppy, and the puppy becomes a big Alsatian and bulldog and wants to eat you up. That's a saying in Arabic. So sometimes we also to blame. But if that what you are saying is true, oh mother, my advice, you must contact the police, charge him for assault, and he must be gone to jail. Go speak to your local Maulana, imams and elders, and they must intervene them.
Somebody says, Ya Ustad, last question, it says, my husband is a non-Muslim, but Mufti Sahab, he treats me better than Muslims. I know we are legally married, but Muslims say this is haram marriage. Could you please explain to me, Ustad?
You out of the fold of Islam, that you are justifying your marriage to a non-Muslim. You got married to a Christian, a Jew, a Hindu. Quran Kareem teaches us Surah 60, verse number 10. La hunna hillul lahum. It's not permissible for any Muslim lady to marry any non-Muslim man. Wala hum yahilluna lahun. And they, the Muslim, non-Muslim men, cannot marry a Muslim lady. You justifying it and trying to say that that is permissible. So you yourself, you out of the fold of Islam. All your children are haram children and illegitimate children, and the lineage goes to you. Immediately you have to separate from him. Make sincere tawbah, read your kalima again, and tell him to become Muslim, and then perform nikah. If he don't become Muslim, then you have to separate immediately from him. Every minute, every moment, Allah's curse is on both of you. So you're trying to justify something. You're going dead against the Quran, and that makes you also a lady who's out of the fold of Islam. Allah forbid. Allah protect us. Okay, 12 o'clock news with Brother Suleiman Esop. Thereafter, the return of the Ottoman Empire by Maulana Ridwan Qaji. 1 o'clock, Zohar Azan, 105 to 130, Surah Mujadala, chapter number 58 and verses 12 to 18, 130 to 2, Surah Namal, chapter 27, verses 17 to 20, 2 to 3, Current Affairs with Brother Yusuf Ali, 3 to 340, the repeat of the Q&A, and thereafter the Zikr and Dua, 4 to 5, Repent and Make Sincere Tawbah, Part 2, by Malona Salim Dorat in Urdu, 5 to 7 will be more Khalid Yaqub, and then my Tafsir, the repeat of it, Surah Mujadala, verses 12 to 18, and then 7:30 to 8, Maulana Yunus Patel Rahimullah's advices. 8 to 9 will be Dr. Shankara Chetty in a medical file with Brother Shafa'at, wonderful program. 9 to 9:30 and 9:30 to 10 will be Sheikh Shu'aib Ma'ida and Maulana Salim Kareem. So inshallah, each one of us should try our level best. Today is Wednesday. Between Zohar and Asr, our duas are accepted. Make dua for the Ummah and make dua for ourselves and the marhumin. Barakallahu feek. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Fadilatul Ustad, Hazrat Mulana Mufti Abdul Qadir Hussain, Hafidhahullah. And of course, tomorrow morning, 4 to 6, As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.